For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody, we welcome you back. We'll get back to our football conversation later on in the show. But as you know, Team 980 is the flagship station for the Washington Wizards. You can hear most Wizards games right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. And joining us right now, he recently signed a long-term contract extension. We've had him on the show, I think, each of his couple of years here in Washington since being a mid-first round pick, and always good to catch up with Corey Kispert here on the Team 980. Hey, Corey, it's Chris Russell. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
What's up, Chris? I'm doing well. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Great to have you again, as always. And congratulations on the contract extension. Well deserved. Before we get actually into the team, just wanted to take you back because I haven't had a chance to talk to you since then. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't a surprise when it happened. Of course, you're involved in those negotiations. But how important was that to get it done, when you got it done, how you got it done, and just to be able to put that aside?
Yeah, man, you have no idea how stressful those conversations and that negotiation can be until you're actually in it. It was about a month and a half of talks back and forth, and the Wizards and my agents, we were all great to work with. I think it was a super productive process, but it took a lot of years off my life just considering the enormity of the situation. And with that all being said, like, thrilled with how it happened, thrilled with how it concluded. And again, like you said, also, like, super happy to put it to bed and focus on the sport that I love and the game that I love, rather than all the business side of it, you know?
You know, it obviously on the court, it hasn't exactly been what everybody wanted, as the organization has been, you know, went from, playoff contender-ish when you first got here to a total kind of rebuild and reload. But when you look at what this team is building, just from an organizational perspective, I would think from inside the locker room and inside your brain, and I don't want to speak for you, you know, like, it's an opportunity, even though it might take a little bit longer than ideally anybody would want, it's an opportunity to potentially be a part of something special. How much did that weigh into, hey, man, I don't want to turn my back and go somewhere else when I can be a part of what they're building here?
Yeah, that's a big part of what we talked about. All of the negotiations and everybody's situation is different. And my situation has turned into one where it's a longer-term vision than other teams, right? The horizon's longer. You have more room to grow and more room to expand your game and expand your kind of foothold in an organization. And luckily, these guys believe that I can be a part of it. And so all of those factors go into the process of signing a new contract. And it really is not, it's a unique experience. It's a unique opportunity. And, you know, a lot of guys are playing, a lot of other guys who signed rookie extensions are playing for teams with lots shorter windows and shorter horizons. But you kind of have an opportunity to invest in a little bit of a longer period than some other players would have had a chance to.
No doubt. Corey Kispert of the Washington Wizards joining us. And follow him on X at Corey_Kispert, as the Wiz get ready for a five-game road trip starting tomorrow night in Memphis. You can hear that game over on Bloomberg 99.1 FM. And again, Corey, nice enough to join us here before leaving for Memphis. So from your game perspective, I think when we had you on last year, and maybe I didn't ask or whatever, I was kind of kicking myself after, I think you led the NBA in three-point shooting percentage or whatever it was in 2022, if I remember correctly. But we all know that it is incredibly difficult to be as consistent as any athlete would like to be when you're a long-range shooter in this particular case. How frustrating mentally is the ups and downs that you sometimes have to deal with when your shot just isn't falling as much as you would like it to and as much as you work on your game?
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question, man. And that's the million-dollar question that a lot of athletes in whatever sport struggle with. Basketball specifically is an inconsistent game, and it's an inconsistent art. And you can do all the prep work you want, and you can feel great about your game, and sometimes the shots just don't go in.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability, the consistency, the way we view consistency necessarily isn't in shots, you know, going through the rim or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's the consistency of the prep work that you do beforehand. And it, thankfully, the season is long enough that, you know, periods of 5 games or 3 games or 10 games don't define your season.
Right.
Plenty of times and plenty of shots to make it up. And ultimately, the cream of the crop is going to rise to the top, right? And the people that deserve to be at the top of those kind of percentage lists when it comes to long-range shooters are going to end up there at the end of the season because they're the best. And I firmly believe that I'm going to be there again this year, and it's just a matter of time before, you know, the water finds its level.
Right. No doubt about it. Well said. Corey Kispert with us from the Washington Wizards. Besides the three-point shooting and long-distance shooting, how else, where do you think you've made the biggest jump, say, over the last year, year and a half, or whatever time frame you want to use in terms of your individual game? Is it attacking the basket? Is it defense? Where would you kind of, like, hang your hat and say, all right, if my shot's not falling, I can count on this?
Yeah, it's those first two, man. And I was a really elite level finisher around the rim,
right,
for my position last year. And that's a testament to the work that I've put in as well. Like, anybody that watches a game with the naked eye can tell you that I can shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my job to, you know, have a counter for that kind of scouting report stuff for other teams. And so whether it's, you know, putting the ball on the deck when guys run me off the three-point line, or screening and rolling and getting into the paint, making plays for others, but especially finishing at the rim. Like, that's kind of been the next iteration,
right,
and the next evolution of my game, is to make teams pay for only thinking that I can just shoot threes and trying to get me off the line and be okay with that. So that's that. And then defensively, it's been a long, long road for getting better. And if you were to look at me, you know, even 2 years from now, and then look at me now guarding the ball, it feels night and day to me. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, scouting reports on our end, making sure that I'm completely dialed in there. But then also, like, the actual physical way that I move, and being more capable in the weight room to move more efficiently and guard these guys that are, you know, world-class athletes. And if the shot's not falling, then I can kind of lean back on those two things and still, you know, make a major impact on the game and help the team win.
Yeah. And now that you've been around for a couple of years at this level and had the kind of success that you've had individually, did I see the video right? Somebody put it up on Twitter, and I hope I saw this right. You were helping Alex Saar, I believe, recently, like, in terms of three-point shooting and catching the ball high and not going to the ground or dribble with it where it could get knocked away or it could get, you know, thrown off, right? There's obviously an art to it. Yes, we know that. But also technique, and I would assume it's easier to get off if you're not going to the ground with it, right?
Yeah, it's much easier to get off that way, and it's a really, really hard shot. It's an advanced level shot, and Alex has a gift of height, and he has a gift of length, and it makes sense for him to be able to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that he necessarily can or should implement right away, but it's stuff that he can work on over the course of his, what's going to be his really, really long career. That's, you know, is a tool in the back pocket that he can use. And it's a technique of mine that I use kind of regularly every day to, you know, check the boxes on my technique to make sure my shot feels correct.
Sure.
And if I can, you know, pass that along or give him any advice or give him tools to work on while he pursues a long career, like, I'm happy to do that.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Corey Kispert of the Washington Wizards, nice enough to join us on the way to Memphis, where the Wiz will kick off a 5-game road trip starting tomorrow night. So we talked about Saar, and obviously you trying to give him a little bit of help. What is your relationship so far, the dynamics between you and Bob Carrington, Keyshawn George, and Saar? Have they fit in pretty well? Has there been a lot of camaraderie? Like, yeah, people are talking about with the Commanders, Corey, I don't know if you pay attention, you know, the brotherhood, and that's what pushed them to first place so far. How has the brotherhood, the camaraderie, the cohesion worked with the three young guys so far this year?
Yeah, they've been great. The ability for them to soak up information like sponges and implement it right away has been remarkable. It's been really, really good to see those guys grow every single day. And, you know, off the court, too, like, when I was a rookie and I showed up, I just didn't want to piss anybody off and stay in my lane and kind of blend in.
Yeah.
These guys are uniquely themselves, and they're charismatic and they're passionate, and they, the way that they play, or the way that who they are, shows on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really special, you know, thing to have at such a young age when you're playing against grown men and legends of the game. And that's how you earn respect in the league, you know, amongst your own teammates and amongst other teams, is you go out there, you play, you know, you play really, really hard, and you are unapologetically yourself,
right.
And these guys have no problem doing that.
Yeah, a certain tenacity is needed, obviously, to survive and thrive in this game. And, you know, I don't know, I'm guessing you probably haven't heard it, but Draymond Green was singing their praises the other night after the Golden State game about specifically Bob and Keyshawn. Just, you know, yeah, they're talking a little trash, but they're playing their ass off. They're playing hard. And you know, as a player, right, whether you guys win or lose, whether you shoot well or not, it's the effort, it's the tenacity, it's the hustle, it's the little things that all add up, and certainly the coaches are paying attention to that, if not everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain feeling that other teams get, or what we get when you kind of step onto the court against certain teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you're in for a dogfight. You know that you might be able to cruise through this one, or there's kind of little subtle feelings that you get when you step onto the floor against certain teams.
Sure.
And our hope as an organization is that no matter what the result ends up being at the end of the night this year, like, we want every single team to feel like they're going to have to lace them up and play super hard in order to get the best of us.
Yeah.
And a guy like Draymond definitely respects that and sees the value in that. And credit to him for voicing that for everyone to hear.
Corey Kispert with us. You guys are, again, on your way to Memphis tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Tip back here on Bloomberg 99.1. Then after that, the Magic, the Rockets, the Spurs, and the Hawks at the end of a 5-game road trip. You've already been to Atlanta. How is a 5-game? I mean, a 5-game road trip sounds like a daunting task, but sometimes with a young team, just based on my experiences, it can be really good for, again, forming that off the court bond and that trust in each other. Is that how you got to kind of look at it? Or do you just look at it as, man, it's a 5-game gauntlet and we've just got to survive it and just come back, you know, 3-2 or at worst 2-3?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, man. Like, packing my suitcase last night was a daunting task for such a long trip.
Right.
Yeah, but also, like, it's a chance for us to get away. It's a chance for us to travel together, spend time together, have good and constructive conversations on the plane, things like that. That'll help us grow. And we're nowhere near the point of the season yet where it feels like it's survival mode. We're excited to let it rip against these teams and spend some time together. No, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and it's a tough start to the road trip because, you know, I know the Magic lost Banchero last week, and that's a big blow for them. But, you know, the Grizzlies, they have Ja Morant back, and he's been so banged up and dealing with other issues. Now they got Zach Edey. So you got some tall tasks ahead of you in just the first two games of this road trip. And I know every game is tough, so it's a good chance, obviously, to get it going here for the Wizards. One last thing before we let you go, Corey, if you don't mind. You guys had a quick one-game sojourn to Mexico City. What was that experience like? I know it wasn't great on the court, but how difficult was that on the body and all the travel and international stuff for just basically one game?
Yeah, the travel was okay, actually. I mean, it's not like we played a game a couple years ago in Japan for the preseason, and that travel was hundreds of times worse with the time zones and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was just the elevation here that kind of got to us. It's about 8,000 feet up there, and you could definitely feel it on the court.
Mm.
All that aside, visiting Mexico City was great. It was the day of the dead while we were out there, and being able to kind of see that city come alive and for them to be a part of that holiday celebration was really special. My wife and a couple of friends came out as well.
Awesome.
I got to experience the whole thing on the ground and in the streets, and it was a really cool experience for them. So I'm happy that we did that as a team. And yeah, results aside, I'm going to look back really fondly on that trip.
Awesome. Well, listen, best of luck. I know you got to get on the plane, so I appreciate you making some time for us. Long 5-game road trip, but you guys are building something. I really truly feel that, and I'm a big fan of yours, and congratulations to you and your family on the contract extension. Thanks as always for being kind to us and spending some good time with us.
Yeah, I appreciate it, boys. Thank you.
All right, that is Corey Kispert right here of the Washington Wizards right here before they leave for Memphis. Good guy there. We've had him on, I think, 3 or 4 times since becoming a member of the Washington Wizards. So always enjoy catching up with him. Hope you Wizards fans enjoyed that as well. All right, we come back. We make the turn towards 3 o'clock. We can get back into our conversation about the most important Washington Commanders acquisition. And Chris, if you can get ready, I want to play that audio from Draymond Green, if we can, that I gave you yesterday that you cut up. If we can do that so we can hear what Draymond Green said in his own words that I asked Corey about, and Corey, I think, gave a good answer about Bub Carrington and Keyshawn George. We'll do that in just a couple of moments right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.